Hey there, this is the Penny on Your Thoughts podcast, and I am your host, Penny Chason. I'm a board-certified hypnotist, intuitive, and experiencer. This podcast is about tapping into your subconscious to create a more aligned and abundant life. By leveraging our subconscious, we can master our thoughts, frequency, and vibration. Fusing the conscious, subconscious, and our consciousness is the science of expansion and soul satisfaction. Each week, I'll share in-depth interviews or solo episodes. This podcast was created to share how you have the power to create infinite potential within you. It's my intention that you find this podcast empowering, inspiring, and full of possibility. Now grab your favorite beverage and let's go. Hey, hey, beautiful souls. Penny here, back with another episode of the podcast and to share with you some things that I have been doing to work through some things that are going on in my life. And I'm going to start this episode in an interesting place because I know that some of the content that I've shared recently has triggered some people, not in a bad way, but to the level that we each have our own understanding, that we've each gone on our own journey, we have different perspectives and different perceptions and different beliefs. And that is just simply a part of this journey that we are on. Now, many of you know that I apprentice with a shaman. And the reason I apprentice with a shaman is to have the support and the guidance as I continue my own personal journey. And the benefits of apprenticing with a shaman, and he's an indigenous shaman, it's not somebody who went and took shamanic practitioner training from the time he was a small boy. He began his journey to be a shaman. And a part of being a shaman is having reached a point where you truly know that you absolutely know nothing. It's a prerequisite. And then it comes back to remembering who you are and learning about how we are all an integral part of everything around us. Nature, energy, the sun, the moon, the elements, the earth, everything is in a symbiotic relationship. And understanding synchronicities and that there are no coincidences and letting go of this illusion of time. Now, I am not there, okay? I am not there. I'm explaining to you why I apprentice with a shaman, because shamanism, true shamanism, there is no dogma, there's no doctrine, there's no checklist, rule book that you have to follow. Shamanism is about your journey of spirituality as a journey inward and your connection to everything and remembering who you are and living your authenticity and doing it within your sovereignty, having your personal power. Our personal power comes from not becoming emotionally invested in what other people say, think, or do with their lives. And this includes our partners, our parents, and our children, those attachments. Our personal power, our sovereignty, comes from recognizing that we are here with free will and choice, and that we chose to be here, as did our spouses, our partners, our children, our parents, you, everyone. We all chose to be here, and we all chose to incarnate at this time. So when I talk about authenticity and personal power, one thing that has been impressed upon me is that on this spiritual journey, the more that I come to know, and the more that I come to know, the more I come to know that I don't know, It is super imperative to lead not only with integrity, but to not do harm. I have deep compassion for humanity. I have deep compassion for you. I have deep compassion for where you are. I have deep compassion for where you've been and where you're going to go. I also know that sharing parts of my journey will benefit you, or maybe it will benefit your perception, perspective of someone or something else in your life. I don't know what that looks like, but the more I continue this journey, the greater my level of responsibility in what I share and in how I share it. It's important to me that people know that we don't have to be subject to the whims of society. We don't have to be subject to the roller coaster of the news. We don't have to be subject to the beliefs that we were domesticated into. And I do realize that everyone is on their own journey as to the lessons you're here to accomplish in this lifetime. I don't know what those are. You are the only one who can tap in and tune into those lessons. When I share content and I share part of my story, I share it from the place that it's my desire and my intention that you see what is possible for you, that you see what is possible for you, that this journey of working through our beliefs, our stories, our attachments, and this is what I'm going to share with you in just a moment, the attachments that I've been working through these last few months, I am fully responsible. Okay, I want you to hear this. I am fully responsible for how long it takes me to work through these attachments. It is each of our responsibilities and choices as to how long or how quickly we can learn a lesson, release an attachment, and move on. It all comes down to choice. But here's the thing. When we go on a journey within, when we go on a spiritual journey, when we begin to know things about ourselves. There's a saying, once you know something, you cannot unknow it. And that's true. Once you know it, you cannot unknow it. But you can choose to forget that you know it. You can choose to forget the lesson. It will always be in our mind. Our mind makes a record of everything. But we can choose to get distracted. We can choose to get sidetracked. We can choose to get into our pity. And we can choose to get into our emotional shit and get stuck. Our emotions serve a purpose. I will never discount emotions. We cannot eliminate our emotions. We cannot 100% eliminate our inner voice because we are Tunal and Nawal. Our Tunal is our 3D ego, it is our 3D identity and how we show up in this world. Our Nawal is our soul, it's our spirit, it's our higher self. It's that part of us that is always connected. And it is the Tunal that keeps us from remembering that we are always connected. But when we go through these experiences, when we have these emotional experiences, I do not share in the moment when I'm experiencing an emotional event. Why is that? Why is it I don't share in the moment? It's because my vibration is not there. If I am caught up in some emotions and I have not worked through them yet, or I'm in a place where I can't step back into the observer role, where I can't take that higher perspective and just simply observe myself and say, okay, what needs to be worked through here? Because emotions serve a purpose. Emotions show us what need to be either addressed inside or what we need to do to fulfill our needs. That's what emotions do, unless they're based on faulty perception. And when they're based on faulty perception, that goes back to what needs to be worked through. You know, is it self-talk? Is it a story we tell ourselves about something? Is it an attachment? The reason I don't share when I'm in those moments is because I'm in a lower vibration. Not only am I in a lower vibration, but our words carry frequency. Our words carry energy. The words that you're hearing me speak right now, they are impacting you on a level that you aren't even aware of right now. So is all the other words of everyone else you hear. This is not some special power I have. All of our words carry this energy and intent and this frequency. So if I were to come in here when I am really in my shit, and believe me, in 2023, I had more than one moment where it was me using all of my tools to get out of my shit and do my best to stay out of my shit. Pardon me for the French, but there's not any better word for it. It was not pretty. Okay. But if I come in and I am connecting with the world and I am sending out a message and I am in that lower vibration frequency, I am propagating that frequency through everyone who listens or reads what I write. Now, some people have talked about it being spiritual bypassing or gaslighting. No. If I were to tell someone that their emotions didn't matter, that would be spiritual bypassing or gaslighting. If I told someone I don't have emotions, that would be flat out lying. It'd be spiritual narcissism. But to be mindful and to be aware that we have a responsibility to carry ourselves and project energy in a way that helps humanity to see that there is this other side, that there is something better that we can strive for. And it doesn't mean we're missing anything, it doesn't mean we're lacking anything. This is our journey. Our entire journey of coming into this planet is to come in not remembering and then to go through the process to learn the lessons and remember. We will learn lessons in this life until we reach the moment that we transition. This is just what it is. If you ever wonder why I don't come in when I'm in the middle of my stuff and I'm not crying and talking about how awful life is and how horrible things are and running a business is so hard, that is energy. I am responsible for my energy. I am responsible for my frequency. I am responsible for the vibration that I put out. And I take that responsibility seriously because I become karmically responsible for what I'm putting out. We have a responsibility to what we share. And the important thing is that we share and we do things to the greatest of our ability. One book that I absolutely love, Don Miguel Ruiz, The Four Agreements. Get The Four Agreements. Read it. Do your best. Be impeccable with your word. Take nothing personally and make no assumptions. That is the foundation of the process, the work, the way that I try to live every single day. Now, I want to share a little bit about what's going on so you have some context. Most of you know I was in healthcare. And if you've listened to past episodes, you know that I really became misaligned with healthcare. Within that, you probably do not know. I've talked about my stepmother and my dad passing very close to one another. And here's a part of the story that most people don't know. And this story is relevant because it is directly tied to one of the things that is repeatedly coming up for me recently that I feel like I've released it and let it go, and it pops up again, and I'm like, damn, okay, there's something else here. that just needs to be put to bed. When my stepmother became ill, my dad had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's a little over a year before. I came to visit on Christmas, and I was a healthcare provider. I had not seen her in 6 months, but boy, let me tell you, I may not have seen her in 6 months, but something had changed. Physically, she was ill, and she was really putting it off, and I was watching her, observing her. And she doesn't like to be told what to do. So I just casually mentioned, "When's your next doctor's appointment?" And she's like, "January 8th." Now, you see how I remember these dates. There are some things that imprint in the mind you don't forget. I'm like, "Oh, when you see your doctor, you might want to tell him X, Y, and Z." Now, she wasn't having an acute event, but she was having symptoms consistent with women who have heart disease. And for years, women were having issues with heart disease, and they were not being addressed by the medical community because if a woman wasn't describing the same symptoms that a man has, it was getting written off as anxiety, being stressed, indigestion, and a woman's cardiac symptoms do not look like a man's. So she had had a specialist for years for a little issue that she had that she was on blood thinners for. It was not heart related. And she'd also been on thyroid medication for years. So she had two doctors who routinely followed her for those things. When she went to see her primary care doctor, he sent her to a specialist, but he sent her to the wrong kind of specialist. And I immediately knew he sent her to the wrong kind of specialist. So I called a family member and I said, "Look, you have to go with her to this doctor's appointment. And she needs somebody who is going to communicate clearly." I said, and these are the things this doctor needs to know." They went in, they go see this doctor. The doctor looked at her for 1 minute and said, "Look, I'll do these tests your doctor requested, but this is not your lungs. This is your heart." So he ordered a cardiac test. They got her in to see a cardiologist. So she goes to see the specialist, and some things come through. They want to do a special test, but some of her lab work was off. And one day I'm in Connecticut and I get a phone call from her, and she's like, "Penny, they're going to let me die." I literally dropped everything, got in my car, and drove to Mississippi. Long story short, the cardiologist that she went to was refusing to treat her medically. She could not walk 25 feet without being so short of breath that she had to sit down and rest for 10 minutes. That cardiologist refused to see her. I called every day for a week. She was having symptoms so bad that we took her into the ER and got her emergency treatment, and they actually treated her. That's how bad the symptoms were. And when we came back and I called and I tried to get in their cardiology, he says, "She's been like this for months. I'm not going to do anything for her," when she hadn't been like that for months. So I immediately began looking for her another doctor. So she saw three specialists. She had two hospital admissions. And then that following November, that was March, that following November, she was so weak, she fell and broke her hip. That night, she cardiac arrested and died. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but the little local bank where my dad and she had their checking accounts, they had a little accidental death insurance policy. And they said, "Oh, just get a record, send it off to us. She's got like a $10,000 benefit here." And I'm like, "Great, dad needs that." They sent me the necessary medical records to file that policy. But when they included her summary of her death and everything that happened, they included her lab work. In 2013, my stepmother died of hypothyroidism. They never found the cause of all of her symptoms, and not one doctor along the way checked her thyroid blood work because her thyroid blood work was so messed up the night that she fell and the day that she fell and broke her hip. There's no way that they could miss this. Everyone assumed that someone else was checking it. Now, here's the attachment. Responsibility and doing a good job and doing the right thing, that's always been like a sticking point with me. I heard it from the time I was growing up. If you're going to do something, do it right. Don't do it at all. That was the first thing. The second thing is, I was also trusting it was taken care of. I never once asked if they had checked her thyroid. She had so many doctors, and it's such a routine check for women having cardiac problems. I never once questioned if it was being done. So, one of the things that I worked through when I had my mental emotional crisis in 2017, one of the things I had to work through was this guilt that I carried because I put that responsibility on myself. But at the end of the day, there were multiple medical errors made because when somebody's on thyroid, it's routine almost when people get admitted to the hospital, especially when they're really sick. One of the first things they do, even if they're not on thyroid medication, you check those levels. Take that and couple it with all of the things that I saw as a critical care nurse and as a nurse anesthetist. Medical errors are the third leading cause of death in the United States. So just put that in your pipe and smoke it for a moment. Fast forward to November of last year. My mom, love her dearly. She's very stubborn. I come by it honest. She's going to do it her way on her terms, and that's just that. I have relaxed around that a little bit, but I come by my stubbornness honest with her. She had decided that she was wanting to decorate for Christmas, and rather than calling someone to come help her, she climbed a step ladder to get up into the top of the closet, and she fell. And she didn't stumble off the ladder. I mean, she fell like you cut a tree down and the tree goes timber. She went timber and hit her head on the way down. So she called me. She needed me, and I went to check her out, see if she needed stitches, and she kept complaining of her neck hurting. And I said, "You know what, Mom? We have to go to the ER. The way that you hit your head with this neck pain, we have to make sure your neck is not broken. Take her to the ER," and it was like an hour or two before shift change for the ER doctors. Very long story short, they do her scans. The day doc comes in and says, "Everything looks good. We're going to let her go. I've reported off to the evening doctor. He's going to take every care, everything, get you discharged." Well, in the transition time, she was having hip pain. When the doctor came in to discharge us, he said, "You know what? Let's just double check everything. We did an x-ray of her hip, but we didn't do a CAT scan of her hip." So he did his due diligence. He ordered a CAT scan of her hip, but while she was getting that CAT scan done, he went back and reviewed her other x-ray. And the x-ray that they did of her neck, the CAT scan that they did of her neck to make sure it was not broken, there was actually on that x-ray, there was a nodule in her lung. And the radiologists who read the CAT scan remotely, down where they described the anatomy, they described this nodule. But in the findings on the report, they did not put that there was a nodule in her lung. If this doctor had not gone back and actually looked at the scan himself and seen that nodule, it would have been missed. I cannot tell you how that sent me into a tailspin. I was not surprised that they found a nodule. I wasn't surprised. But what happened in the following 24 hours was I found myself fully triggered. My entire nervous system was fully triggered by the fact that someone didn't fully do their job. And what happened in that moment was I felt a complete and total sense of loss of control. Not that we have control anyway, control is an illusion. But for 5 days, I was shocked. I was toast. My body was having a full-on nervous system reaction. So how did I handle that? Because it has come up in I've had little twinges of it here and there. I had a little bit of it yesterday, just out of the blue. And I was like, you know what? You have to surrender and you have to trust. You have to surrender and you have to trust. I still advocate. I still got a big mouth. I'm going to stand up for my mother and make sure she gets absolutely the best care to the extent that I can. But how did I handle that? What did I do? Well, the first thing that I did was I allowed myself to sit with those emotions. And I sat and I observed, because the first thing I had to do was decipher what was causing me to feel that way. Because when it initially happened, I didn't even know what was causing me to feel that way. And I was like, what is it about this situation? Because it's the single nodule. I'm not afraid I'm going to lose my mother. I'm not afraid she's going to die. It's a single nodule. What is going on here? And as I did some self-reflection and self-exploration, it came up. This is about the system. This is about not having control. This is about not knowing what's coming next. So over those 5 days, what did I do? I had to reschedule my clients. I did have one client that one day I was feeling really good, and 5 or 10 minutes before we got on our call, I felt another wave of emotion coming over me. And when we got on the call, we connected for a couple of minutes, and I just said, look, I truly apologize. There's something that's been going on in my life the last few days. I felt really good about today, and right now I'm just finding I can't be present with you to the degree that you deserve me to be present, to the degree that I have the responsibility to be present with you. And she gratefully rescheduled. This was 5 days of feeling it, observing it, releasing it, let it go, it come back up, release it, let it go. I spent a lot of time outside. I spent time reflecting and being grateful that, now not to gratitude bypass, being grateful that I know what I can do to advocate for her, to know what I can do, and to observe where my attachments were and say, okay, what can I do in this situation? And what do I have no control over? And the things that I have no control over, I have to surrender the fact that I don't have control. And you say, how do you do that? How do you surrender? Surrendering isn't about giving up. Surrendering is about knowing the difference between the things we can change and the things that we can't. And it's about knowing what is our responsibility and what is not. I did a lot of walking outside. I did a lot of just sitting in nature. I listened to things that uplifted me, not to plaster over what I was feeling, but to allow myself to be in my awareness of what I was going through, but to elevate my vibration at the same time. It was about a dance. It was a dance of observing my emotions, reflecting, being aware of them, validating them, but not being in them. And this comes from practice. And really, the first step is, if you're looking for steps, the first step is to be mastering your thoughts, to pay attention to your thoughts. When your mind starts going to the rabbit hole of what if, why, how come? I felt a wide range of emotions. I felt sadness. I felt anger. I felt fear. I felt alone. I have a whole range of emotions. And these things will continue to come up probably periodically. Because we have many, many, many medical interactions that we will be going through. And I'm sure it will come up more than once. The one thing I can say is this: because I allowed myself to process what I was feeling, because I allowed myself to once again visit this place where I felt guilty about my stepmom and say, okay, it's time to really let this go. You felt like you had let it all go, but these remnants are coming up again, and you have to just decide that it wasn't your responsibility, because in that role you were daughter, not provider. That's a little dance that my mother and I are dancing. She wants me to be her daughter, not a nurse, but when we go to these visits, I will bring my nursing knowledge into that and ask the right questions. This is also a dance about learning that when I'm with her, I'm punkin'. But when we're at the doctor's office, I do have my healthcare hat on to ask the right questions and advocate for her. In November, when all of this happened, being in healthcare, I knew the journey that was ahead of us. I didn't know all the details, but I knew the journey. I didn't know exactly what it was going to look like. And I knew that a priority for me this year was going to be being available to her the greatest degree that I could. And to be able to do that in a way that does not impact my client delivery, where I can still be fully present for my clients, provide that value, provide the facilitation, the guidance, the transformation, and do it in a way where there is consistency and continuity on that journey for my clients. That's one of the main reasons you saw me pivot back to training for 2024. And right now I have two more trainings on the books for 2024. I'll put a link in the show notes for you if you're interested. We're doing a 7-day intensive at the end of July, and then we're doing a weekends only training in October. So the training is broken up over 3 weekends because I had so many people reach out to me and tell me that they have to work and they want to do this so that they can transition out of their workplace into something that's more aligned and more purposeful and passionate for them. But I do have a couple of one-on-one opportunities available to work with me. So there's one-on-one, there is training, and in the next week or two, I am going to be announcing a special opportunity within Catalyst. If you don't know about Catalyst, Catalyst is my hypnosis mind activation vault. There are just all kinds of great hypnosis audios in there. There are a few very short videos on managing emotions and mastering emotions so that you can get started on this journey to learn different ways that you can master your thoughts, that you can neutralize some of the subconscious root causes of the thoughts that can come in and create the overthinking and the fear, the guilt, all of those things, so that you can let go of some of the people pleasing. All of that's in there. But we're going to be putting a very special upgrade onto Catalyst. We're going to have a platinum level to that membership. We're going to be doing a very, very special introductory pre-sale pricing into the platinum level of the mentorship. This special introductory offer will only be going to people who are on my email list. So if you are not on my email list, that is a place that you really, really want to be. And considering that so many people deal with just day-to-day stress, and it would be really nice if you could just take a 10-minute timeout to rest, relax, and unwind, and just give yourself a little bit of peace of mental relaxation. What I want to do is I want to give you access to a couple of hypnosis audios I recorded quite some time ago. They are not a part of Catalyst, but access to a couple of those audios. You can download them right to your phone and have those available to you. You can go to pennychason.com/relax. Just pop in your name, your email, and as soon as you submit it, you will be able to immediately log in and get your access to these two audios. One is just for a really good deep mental and physical relaxation, and the other one is actually to release stress, worry, and anxiety. So that will get you on my email list. And when we announce this special platinum level of Catalyst, you will get the emails for the pre-sell investment. And it's going to be really great for you. It's going to be really, really great. So you want to be sure and be on the lookout for that. If you're wanting one of my two spots for one-on-one, then go to pennychason.com. Then you hit the work with me tab up at the top. That's the easiest way to do it. Book your blueprint call and we will connect and we will see what's going on, and you will walk away with some really great value from that call. One last thing. Over the next few weeks, we are going to be doing a series of encore episodes. Remember, I talked about having to create space, and this is one of those things I'm doing to create space. I have gone back through the archives, and I have found half a dozen of the most impactful episodes. These are the episodes that people send me spontaneous messages and said, oh my God, I listened to this. You made a difference in my life. I'm going to be re-releasing those episodes as encore episodes. So be sure to look out for those over the coming weeks. And then we will be back with a fresh batch of Penny on Your Thoughts in just a few weeks. Bye now. I really appreciated having you join me today for this episode of Penny on Your Thoughts. I would really appreciate it if you would take a moment and head over to your favorite podcast platform and leave a positive review about the podcast. It helps me to reach more people to help them to enlighten, elevate, and expand their lives. Be sure to subscribe to the show if you haven't already, and I look forward to seeing you back here again next week.